Wonderful prayer and song that we need to pray every morning, don't we? Be still, my soul. Speaking to ourselves, I think of the psalmist and particularly David. He would often talk to himself, speak to himself, challenge himself, question himself, rebuke himself, sympathize with himself. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. I got a beautiful picture up here for you this morning. Look at, so you don't have to look at me. You can look at that picture. Something beautiful. But there's something in that picture that I want to come back to later. Probably not something that will catch your attention immediately. It's not the focus of the picture by any means, but it's part of the picture. So we'll look at that in just a little bit. Our theme this year at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel is 2020 Vision. We're definitely not the only ones that are using that as a theme or a phrase this year. But it's very fitting, we believe, for us. 2020 Vision. We see in John 20:20 that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And that's what we want to see the Lord this year. We want to see the Lord every day of every year. We want to gaze on Him. We want to focus on Him. We want to have a 2020 vision. We want to see Him and through Him see what He wants us to see. We started out 2 weeks ago by looking at our mission, why we exist as a local church. What is our purpose for existing? And we are basing that on the Great Commission. The words of the Lord Jesus to His disciples before He went back to heaven, after He had died and been raised again from the dead for our justification. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And from that, we have drawn our mission statement that we went into more detail in back on the first Sunday of this year. Shannon Hills Bible Chapel exists to exalt the Lord Jesus, evangelize the world, and edify the church. That's our purpose for being. And then we moved ahead last week to look at our vision. And the vision being distinct from the mission being why we exist as a local church, the vision emphasizing what we see that God wants us to be at some point in the future. What is it that God is desiring for us? And again, we went into some detail of this last week, and we based our vision on this verse, Ephesians 4:13, "Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," Ephesians 4:13. As Paul wrote that to the local church there at Ephesus. So we take that and we looked at that passage and zeroed in on this verse. And from that, this is our vision statement. Our vision is to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and makes Him known more widely. When I was a little kid, I used to sing, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Well, we want our vision as we look into the future to be a local church that knows Jesus Christ more deeply and that makes Him known more widely. We want more people to know about Him. We want them to know more about Him, and we want to know Him more deeply. We want that relationship with Him to grow and to be deeper and deeper. Under our vision last week, we had 10 vision goals that we want, by the grace and power of God, for the glory of God, to see if He will do this and we can reach these this year. The first one, and I'm going to go back through these very quickly, just put them up before you, and challenge you as a part of this local church. We have a vision that everyone in Shannon Hills Bible Chapel will have a time in the Word and prayer every day. Every day. Not 5 days a week, not 1 day a week, 7 days a week. We also have a vision that everyone in Shannon Hills Bible Chapel will be in some type of discipling or accountability relationship with at least one other person. We also have a vision that everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel will be involved in some area of service for the Lord. Fourthly, we have a vision that everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel will be participating in some way, in some form of evangelism, getting the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus to other people. Fifthly, we have a vision that at least 100 visitors will come to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel during this year. And we know that's not going to occur simply through the building being here or through the website, as effective as they can be. But part of our vision in this point is that everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel will invite at least one person to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel each month. At least one. I'm going to encourage you to invite more, because there may be some folks that won't be able to do that. So if you can invite two, then you can make up for someone else that might not be able to invite any. Or maybe you can invite one per week or one per day. But we want everybody to be involved in that. It's our vision to see the Lord save at least 25 people through the direct evangelistic efforts of this assembly and people in this assembly this year. I'm very encouraged to tell you that that number now can go to 23. Because this past week at our Kids for Christ Club at Murphy Traditional Academy, Anthony and Victor Lee both stayed after and professed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. A direct result of you praying, of you giving, of you being involved, some of you in that outreach ministry. And we have many other outreach ministries. And we want to see the Lord save people. It's wonderful to get the gospel out. And many times in my life, I'll be honest with you, I've been content that if the gospel went out, then I had done my part. We had done our part. And I still believe that. But we have a vision that not only will the gospel go out, that people will respond to the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. But the more that we share the gospel, the more opportunities we have to see God working in the lives of people. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Seventh. A vision to increase our community involvement and being involved in the community where we are, looking for ways to connect and network with different groups, ministries, nonprofits that we might have more of a testimony in the community as we reach out with the love of the Lord Jesus, loving our neighbors as ourselves. We have a vision that this year, this local church can start a Spanish Bible study using some of our facilities here. We don't know what that's going to look like, but we have that vision that God will do that, and we want you to pray about that and maybe be a part of that. We have a vision that this year, 20 new families will begin attending regularly. And that's not to say we don't want singles or couples or anything. No, but we want everyone. But we have a particular vision that 20 new families. You say, how can that possibly occur? It can only occur as God does it. That's why it's a vision we hope from God, and that we trust Him to do it. Because all we can do is our part. He has to do that work. And then the last part of our vision for this year, 2020, is to start a greeter ministry. And we praise God that a brother has already been burdened by the Lord to coordinate this ministry, and we're excited about that. The elders are still working on that and working with this brother, but God is working. We have a vision that we believe is from God, and it's a big vision. It's bigger than any of us individually. It's bigger, really, than any of us corporately, but God is able to do that. And in this vision, we want you to be excited about this vision. We want you to truly desire to be a part of what God is doing here. Part of our mission to exalt the Lord Jesus and to evangelize the world and to edify the church. And part of this vision that we have to be a local church that knows the Lord Jesus more deeply, not satisfied with the level of our relationship with Him, but to go deeper with Him and to make Him known more widely. Not only to know Him more deeply, but that depth of knowledge will bubble up within us and will overflow, and we'll want to take that out and share that with others. Our mission, our vision. And then there's one other aspect of this that we'd like to present this morning, and that's our values. So this morning we want to look at our 2020 vision, and particularly under this idea of our core values. Again, our mission is why we exist as a local church. Our vision is what we see that God desires for us to be at some point in the future, something we're moving toward. And then our core values are the most basic shared principles and ideals that serve as guardrails to keep us functioning according to our mission and in pursuit of our vision. Core values. Some of you out there have been working on your core. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you'd be the easiest ones to raise your hand because your core is in good shape, or maybe you just started and it's really hurting, it's really sore. But that core part of our bodies, this trunk area, and we know how important that is for stability and flexibility coming here from this core part, the fundamental, basic part, not of our living, because our heart, our brain, our lungs actually, obviously, would be more involved with that. But that stability that comes from the core of our beings. They're basic. They're fundamental. And you know what? You might have seen there in that definition the word guardrails. And maybe you're reminded of that picture that we started out with this morning. I'm going to show you again in just a moment. But you know, guardrails they have a very simple job: to keep you from falling off the cliff. All right? You're driving through the mountains. The goal is to keep you from ending up off of the road and down in the valley in a way where there's not a road. Some of you have been in accidents where you hit a guardrail and you might have thought, man, I wish that guardrail hadn't have been there. No, you're thankful that guardrail was there, because if that guardrail wasn't there, you would probably hit a tree or gone off a cliff or hit something that would have been a lot worse than a guardrail. Guardrails are there to keep us on the path that we've set out to go on. And we have a mission. God has put us here that we might exalt the Lord Jesus. God has put us here that we might reach out with the gospel and evangelize the world, the sphere where He has us and beyond. And God has put us here that we might edify the church, one another, and other believers. God has given us a vision. And we're seeking to move in that direction by His power, led by Him, following Him as the nation of Israel followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night into the wilderness. We desire to follow Him as we seek to be a local church that knows the Lord Jesus more deeply and that makes Him known more widely. And we need something to keep us on that path, because it's very easy to get off that path. It's very easy to wander away. It's very easy to be well-meaning, but to get caught up with many other things and to miss our path. There's the picture again. Guardrails, and as guardrails.org says, no one needs one until they do. No one needs one until they do. The guardrail is not the focus of the picture. That's a beautiful scene. The mountains, the sunrise or the sunset. I'm not sure where this was taken. But either way, it's a beautiful picture. The clouds, the sky. The focus is not the guardrails, but the guardrail is there to help you. And if you're driving up the Blue Ridge Parkway and you see a beautiful view and you start looking at it and take your eyes off the road and your wife is not there in the car with you to help you correct that, then you may end up off. But thank the Lord for guardrails. Because if your wife isn't there, then the guardrail is there to protect you. Sorry, guys, I'm speaking from experience. Core values, the most basic shared principles and ideals that serve as guardrails to keep us functioning according to our mission and in pursuit of our vision. You know, these core values may be unspoken. And oftentimes they are. They may be unwritten, and oftentimes they are. And you know, those core values, unwritten and unspoken, really may work fine for those who just have intuitively understood what the core values are, or because they've been involved in this local church for many years, and you may feel that it's obvious what our core values are. We don't need to write those down. We don't need to verbalize those in any way. But, you know, that doesn't work as effectively for those who haven't caught the core values. Or those who desire a more clearly thought out and expressed list of core values, or even for us, that we might think through these things, that we might take, as it were, that magnifying glass and first go and look what are our core values and then look more closely at our core values. For a backdrop, I'd like for us to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're not going to be drawing our core values out of this passage, but you know, I think about us as a local church. Shannon Hills Bible Chapel began as Forest Avenue Tabernacle 80 years ago this year. I moved over here into Shannon Hills when this neighborhood was much, much smaller. Shannon Hills Chapel. Later, the name changed to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. How did this get started? Well, we could go back 80 years ago. We could go back 85 years ago and give some history. But you know, really we can go back here to Acts chapter 2. Because Acts chapter 2 is where the church began. And we're not going to be looking at the first part of the chapter. That's where the church began on the day of Pentecost. And the Spirit of God came down to indwell every believer. But Peter preached a sermon that day, and we find it there beginning in verse 15. And he preaches that sermon, and he goes all the way down through verse 39, and we find that there was a response to that. Let's pick up in verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now here we go. This is the birth of the church. This is also the birth of the local church. The church, universal, is every believer everywhere. But the local church is every believer that meets together in a particular geographical area. So this local church in Jerusalem went from 0 to 3,000 in one day. 0 to 3,000 in one day. Notice verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We have the establishment here of the church, the called out ones. Those who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And it's God's intention that everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior be in fellowship with a local body of believers who seek to stand upon the Word of God and function according to the Word of God and go out with the Word of God. He desires that we be together. And here's the backdrop of the early church, as it were, for our core values, the backdrop in these verses. In verse 42, we see commitment. We see a verse that many of us know very well and have studied a lot and have preached on and have meditated on. We find their commitment. In verse 43, we see the impact. God was using them to impact their community. In verses 44 to the beginning of verse 46, we see their unity, their oneness, their working together. God had put them together, not just physically. God had put them together spiritually, and now it was up to them, as we read in Ephesians 4, as we looked at last week, to guard that unity, to live out that unity, to protect that unity from ourselves. Because we are the ones that tend to bring division as we are impacted by outside forces as well as our own flesh and the devil coming against us. And at the end of verse 46, we see the joy that was in their hearts. They were not in an easy situation, but they had great joy. Great joy in the Lord Jesus, great joy in their oneness. And then in verse 47, we see their growth. We see that they were growing individually, but also numerically. God was adding to them those who were being saved, and there were people being saved every day. And we're looking to see 25 people saved this year. And I didn't do the math on it, but if you took 25 and divided it by 365, or divided 365 by 25, you can see how many per day we're looking, or how many days that we're looking for every that many days, how many people would be saved. With this backdrop, I'd like for us to briefly consider seven core values of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And as I share these, I want you to see them, first of all, as our core values. These aren't just the core values of the elders. These are our core values as a local church. And we want to embrace these core values. And I think that most, if not all of them, hopefully you will be able to embrace them very well anyway. It'll be very natural for you to do that. I do want to make one distinction here. These core values are different from our articles of faith. Now you can go on our website and you can see there, you can click on Articles of Faith and you can go down and you can find our doctrinal statement. Our doctrinal statement, there's another, What We Believe. You can click on that too and get more information. This is not the doctrinal statement, okay? These are our core values that we hold on to in addition to our doctrinal statement. Now, the doctrinal statement and these core values will overlap to some degree. But this is, I don't want you to think this is our doctrinal statement. It's not. We have a doctrinal statement regarding what we believe about the Word of God and what we believe about God and what we believe about the Lord Jesus and what we believe about humanity and what we believe about salvation and what we believe about the end times. Those are all a part of our articles of faith. But these are core values. These are the most basic shared principle and ideals. I want you to go back before we start looking at these. Go back to verse 44. Now, all those who believed were together and had all things in common. Okay, notice that. They were together And they had all things in common. Now, I understand that they were together physically, in one sense, and they had all things in common, and that spoke of material things, but I think it can go deeper than that. It can go wider than that. They were together not just in locality. They were together. They were united. They were committed together to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayers. They were committed together to impacting their community. They were committed together to building up one another and sharing one another. They were together. We want to be together. There's so many things to divide us, but we desire to be together, and the Spirit of God is here to unite us. That's the heart of God. That we be united. It's the heart of the devil that we be divided. It's the work of Satan that we be divided. Not only were they together, they had all things in common. Now again, it's primarily speaking here, the interpretation of the passage, I believe, is they had together in common their material things, and they shared each other. He goes on to say that in the rest of the verse. But I would suggest that they also had core values in common. They're not listed. I don't know that they were ever spoken. Maybe they were. They probably didn't even use that term. But they had core values. They had things in common. They had things that they shared together. Truths that they hung on to that were important to them. That they were not going to negotiate. And that's what these things I'm going to present this morning are. Our articles of faith are non-negotiable. And these core values are non-negotiable. These are things that are guardrails that we hope will keep us on the path of our mission and of our vision. That is our heart. That is our desire. So we'll very quickly just look at these for a few moments. And maybe as we go on this year, we may speak more of them. Here's our first core value. We value Jesus Christ as our center. Jesus Christ as our center. When a celebrity comes into town, people move in that direction. When a celebrity comes into the building, people change from the room they're in and they try to get closer. When a celebrity comes into the room, people surround the celebrity. They want to be near him, whether they're in front of him, beside him, behind him, in front of her, beside her, behind her, they want to be near. And it ends up that celebrity becomes the focus. Well, we don't gather around a celebrity. Well, yes, we do, kind of, but he's a celebrity to us, the Lord Jesus. He's our center. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I am there in the center of them." He is there to be the center. He is worthy to be the center. We see him in Revelation chapter 1 walking among the lampstands, which John tells us speaks of the churches, and he walks among the churches. He is the focus of the churches, and he is the focus of this local church. And as the center, he is the object of our worship. And we start every Sunday gathering for his supper, gathering to remember him. He is the focus. We begin our week, the first day of the week. The disciples met together to break bread, and that's what we do. He's the object. He's the focus. We want to all be looking to him as the center. He is the motivation for our lives. He is the motivation for our obedience. As the center, he is the example. And Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." As we seek to be Christ-like, we value the Lord Jesus Christ as the center of all we are, of all we have, of all we do. Are you ready to embrace that? Jesus Christ as our center. The second of our core values, God's Word is our authority. God's Word is our authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:20 that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. No, God moved along these writers. He was controlling that, allowing them to use their personalities and their pens, but He was overseeing and superintending it all by the Holy Spirit of God. He has communicated to us as our Creator. He has communicated to us as our Recreator. He has communicated to us as our Lord. God's Word has the right to control and command. And by receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior, we acknowledge that we are putting ourselves under the authority of the Word of God. And our decisions in this local church are to be made in accordance with the Word of God. That's why we seek to meet like we do. That's why we seek to go to Acts 42. That's why we seek to go to the New Testament, the book of Acts, and the letters that are there to the churches and are there about the meetings of the local church, that we might be obedient. God's Word is our authority in what we teach. God's Word, our authority in what we believe. God's Word, our authority in the way that we live our lives individually, wherever we are, because we continue to be a part of the church. We value God's Word as the final and complete authority for all we say and do. It's a core value of this local church. God's Word is our authority. Number three, the Holy Spirit as our power. The Holy Spirit as our power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus told His disciples, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And there in Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of that chapter, we see as they gathered in that upper room praying and waiting for God to do that work, He sent His Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and He came and they were enabled. And Peter, who weeks before had been too afraid to speak of his identity, his association with the Lord Jesus in front of a servant girl, now stands in front of thousands by the power of the Holy Spirit and speaks forth the gospel message. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." We believe that we will accomplish what God desires for us to accomplish in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our jobs, in our communities, in this local church, in the church. We will accomplish that by the Holy Spirit as our power. Without Him, we have no ability to exalt the Lord Jesus. Without Him, we have no ability to evangelize the world. Without Him, we have no ability to edify the church. Without Him, we have no ability to know the Lord Jesus Christ more deeply. Without Him, we have no ability to make Him known more widely. We value the Holy Spirit as the energy and the ability for all that we do and say. That's a core value of this local church. Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, our core values also include this. Number four, gospel transformation as our lifestyle. Gospel transformation as our lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." The gospel, the pure gospel, the gospel of grace, the gospel of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a gospel that transforms. It changes us. And if it doesn't change us, then we must have believed in vain, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. If you've not believed in vain, if your faith has not been empty, have you truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have, the Spirit of God comes to live within you, and He is the power. And the gospel transforms our lives. We're all in the process of transformation if we have believed on the Lord Jesus. Our lifestyle is the way that we live our lives. And it's our responsibility as those who know the Lord Jesus. It's our responsibility and our privilege to declare the transforming gospel by our lips. And to display the transforming gospel by our lives. That should be a lifestyle. That's what we desire at this local assembly. We desire that gospel transformation will be our lifestyle. That we will live out the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day and was seen. That we would live out the truth that it's by grace that we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. That's a core value of this local church. Not that we come and talk about the gospel on Sunday and then go and live our lives any way we want to until we come back and talk about the gospel again the next Sunday. No, it's to infiltrate every part of our lives. It's to transform us. It's to change us. Because everyone, whether saved or unsaved, needs the transforming gospel. We want to see people saved. We want to see our lives changed even more. We value the gospel as a transforming power and pattern for our lives. Number five, we value loving relationships as our context. We value loving relationships as our context. John, the one who referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one who wrote much about love and his first letter, writes this in chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 of 1 John. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning acceptable sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And he goes on to say, we love Him because He first loved us. Literally, we love because He first loved us. We believe that a core value of this local church, a fundamental ideal that in principle that we share together, is that loving relationships should be the context in which we come together, in which we live together, in which we grow together, in which we encourage one another together, in which we rebuke one another together, in which we worship together, in which we learn together, loving relationships. First, that love of God and that love for God. John said that's not what love's really about, but it is a response of love, is to love God back. God has put us in the context of community. Again, He doesn't expect us to function alone. He desires there to be a love relationship between us individually and the Lord Jesus and between us individually and one another. And that we, like God, would love the world. Not the things of the world. Not the world system, but the people. That we would have family relationships with God as our Father and we as brothers and sisters in Christ. That we would have healthy family units. That we would invest in our children, we would invest in our young people, we would invest in our adults, we would invest in our seniors, because we value relationships that are characterized by God's love as the context in which we function as a local church. Number six, our sixth core value, grace and truth as our atmosphere. Grace and truth as our atmosphere. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, we read that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We read in the New Testament letters that we are to speak with grace. Our lives should be characterized by grace. What do people sense when they first experience us as a local church? What do people sense as they more deeply experience us as a local church? Grace is getting something good that we don't deserve. Truth is what is absolutely true. Both came by the Lord Jesus. Both are embodied in the Lord Jesus. And we desire that we have an atmosphere here, an atmosphere that is welcoming in the truth, that we stand upon the truth, that we don't compromise the truth, but that we don't use the truth to bring judgment on everyone that disagrees with us. And that we let the Spirit of God do the condemning. Let the Spirit of God do the judging as He chooses when people come upon us or come to us. And that we would know how to function together in a way that says, you can come to me because I love you. You can come to me because as I've been treated with grace, I want to treat you with grace, and I'll share the truth with you, but I'll share it with you in a gracious way. We desire that to be the atmosphere here. Not an atmosphere of legalism, but an atmosphere of grace. Not an atmosphere of law, but an atmosphere of grace. Not an atmosphere of compromise, but an atmosphere of truth. We desire grace and truth to be our atmosphere. And finally, we value humble servanthood as our attitude. In John chapter 13, you know the story. The Lord Jesus got up, laid aside His outer garments, took a basin of water and a towel, and He washed the feet of His disciples. He said, as you have done to me, I want you to do this for each other. There are many lessons that we can draw from that, many spiritual applications, but there's also the practical application of being servants, of being humble servants like our Lord Jesus, who humbled Himself, who gave Himself, who sacrificed Himself. We want to be like Him in His humility, like Him in His willing service, and we value opportunities to humbly serve the Lord and others as a local church. These are our core values. Can you embrace these values? Can you embrace these values? They're based upon the Word of God. Will you embrace them? We're not saying these are the only things that we value. We value all of the Word of God from beginning to end. But these are some things that we want to verbalize, that we want to list, that we want to say we are going to stay in the guardrails of these values as we meet together as a local church. I'm going to close us in prayer. We're going to have just a short part of a song played. And I'd like for you just to look back up at these core values and meditate on them and answer that question. Can you embrace those? Is there one here that you don't feel that you can embrace? If you can embrace all seven, my next question is this. Will you embrace them? Will you embrace them? So I want these guardrails to keep me on the path. I want to be moving toward that place where I know Jesus Christ more deeply and I make Him known more widely. I want to be a part of this local church where we're desiring to exalt the Lord Jesus and to evangelize the world and to edify the believers. I want to be a part of that. I want to commit myself to that. I want the 2020 vision of this local church. I hope that you can. We'd love to talk with you more about it. I'd love to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the folks you've gathered here this morning. What a blessing, what a joy to be together, to sing, to pray, to fellowship, to open your word. Father, we pray that these core values are from you. We pray that our mission is from you, our vision is from you. We're trusting you to lead us, to guide us, to do a work that is beyond us, to do things that we can't do. Father, that you might get the glory, that you might get the honor, that you might get the praise. Father, may we humble ourselves. May the Lord Jesus always be our center. May your word always be recognized and accepted as our authority. May your Holy Spirit always be acknowledged as our power. May the transformation by the gospel be our lifestyle. May loving relationships be our context. May grace and truth be the atmosphere of this local assembly. May humble servanthood be our attitude. Lord, will you work in us? We need you. We cannot do it on our own. Only by the Spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Father, work among us. Work in our hearts. Work in our lives. Change us for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.